less expensive this year than it was when we left 2 years ago. So it's going to take a lot of fundraising. So we're going to be getting started with that pretty soon as well. Try to have our youth auction this spring and a lot of things like that. So you guys keep that in mind as we approach that time. Okay, Brother David?
All right, if you take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 26 tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. I just want to read two verses tonight to kind of get us started, to get our minds set on what we're going to talk about tonight. The first verse that I want to read is verse number 5. Now, once we get into the message, we're going to read basically the entire chapter, but verse number 5. The Bible says, "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." Now, I want you to say that with me, just the last part, starting with, "and as long," and I just want us to read that together because I want that to really get into your mind tonight. And so read it with me. "As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." Now, I want you to go over with me to verse number 16 now. Verse number 16. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." I don't know how many of you remember Muhammad Ali, but Muhammad Ali was no doubt probably one of the greatest boxers that ever lived. And to go along with his greatness, he had a great ego and he was a very egotistical guy. One day he decided he was going to go somewhere, and so he bought a plane ticket and he boarded the plane and he went in and he sat in his first class seat. And as he sat there, the stewardess passed by and she leaned over and she said, "Mr. Ali, you got to buckle your seatbelt." And he really didn't pay any attention because he didn't want to buckle his seatbelt. And it was just the beginning of the flight. So she went on about her duties. And as you know, if you've ever flown, they'll pass you 10 or 12 times before they take off. She came by again and she said, "Mr. Ali, you need to buckle your seatbelt." And once again, he paid her no mind and she went on about her business. And they made all the announcements and everything, told you about the air and the life preserver and all that thing that they tell you. And they were just ready to push off from the gate. And once again, this stewardess, she came by Mr. Ali and she said, "Mr. Ali, you have to buckle your seatbelt. We are not moving until you buckle your seatbelt. Everybody has to buckle your seatbelt." And he said, "I don't have to buckle my seatbelt." She said, "Yes, you do." He said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And she said, "Superman don't need no plane either." When you read the Bible and study the Bible, one of the great sins of the Bible is pride. You see it early on in Genesis, and you see it almost in every book from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelations. And when you read Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16, it tells us that there are seven things that God hates. And verse number 16 says this, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And guess what is the very first thing on that list? A proud look or pride. The Bible says, and God teaches us, that he hates pride. When you read Isaiah chapter number 14, it is a great chapter that tells us about Lucifer, that he was one of the leading, or he was the top cherubim, or he was the main angel. But he decided, you know what, I want to ascend to the throne of heaven, and I want to descend to the throne of God, and I want to be as God. And you know that God cast him out of heaven. And what was his sin? His sin was pride, because he thought he could be like God. When you go to the Garden of Eden and you read about Eve, and we know that Satan, I believe, came at her in a prideful way, and he says, you know what, God really hasn't said you can't eat of the tree, and you know what, God says that or God knows that if you eat of the tree of good and knowledge that you're going to be just like him. And I'm sure she got to thinking, you know what, I want to be like God, and I ought to be like God. And so she partook of the fruit, and we know that when she partook of the fruit, she was cast out of the Garden of Eden. It was pride that caused Moses not to be able to go into the promised land. Remember when he was guiding the children of Israel into the promised land, he came to the rock the second time. And remember the first time they came to the rock and they didn't have any water. And God says, I want you to take your rod. I want you to take your staff and I want you to strike the rod. And he struck the rock. And when he struck the rock, waters came out. But now it's a different situation. And he's already kind of mad a little bit. And now God is going to come to Moses, and he's going to say, I don't want you to strike the rock with your rod, but I want you to go and speak to the rock. Here is one of the greatest leaders of all time, and there's millions of people that is around him, and I'm sure he got to thinking, you know what, look at who I am. I shouldn't have to speak to this rock. And it was pride that caused him to take his staff and to strike the rock. He got water, but because of that, he didn't get to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Pride was a great sin in his life. You read the book of Judges. And over and over and over, it's a story over and over that the children of Israel, they did what was right in their eyes. They didn't want to follow the Lord. They didn't want to do what the Lord wanted them to do. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. It was a sin of pride in their life. When you read the life of Solomon, Solomon, no doubt, was the wisest man, and Solomon was a great man. But I think Solomon, along the way, he thought he didn't have to listen to God, because when you read Deuteronomy chapter number 17, God knew that Israel one day was going to want a king, and there were three things that he told them that when they have a king, this king could not do. He couldn't multiply horses. He couldn't multiply wives, and he couldn't multiply gold and silver, because he said, hey, they will turn your heart away from me. But Solomon became very successful, and Solomon became very good in what he did, and the blessings of the Lord was upon him. And I think that there was a time in his life where he said, you know what? I don't have to apply the teachings of the Bible. I'm different. Look at all of this success I have. And we know that he began to multiply wives, and he had 700 of them. But one of the saddest verses for me in all of the Bible is 1 Kings chapter number 11 and verse number 7, where it says, and when he had waxed old, and when he had multiplied wives, they turned his heart away from God. I believe that the thing that was going on with Solomon was pride. Hey, I can do my own thing. I don't have to submit to the teachings, and I don't have to submit to the rules and the commandments of God. When you read the New Testament, what caused the Pharisees not to accept Jesus as their Lord and Messiah? It was pride. They said, hey, we are the seed of Abraham. We will not have this man to rule and to reign over us. It was pride that was sin, that was their sin. When you read in the book of Mark about Jesus when he was with his brothers and sisters, and when the Bible says that he could do no great work, he could do no great miracle or in his hometown, but because they would not accept him. I believe the reason that they would not accept him as Lord and Savior was pride. They had lived with him for 33 years. They had listened to him. They were in the same family. And one of their brothers couldn't be greater than they were. And so the Bible says that no prophet is without honor in his own country. What was the beginning of that? I believe the beginning of that was pride. And we see it over and over and over in the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. James chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud. I don't know about you, but I don't want God resisting me. I want to have free reign with the I want the Spirit of God to have free reign in my life, and I want to have free reign when I pray, and I want God to answer my prayers. And the Bible teaches us that hey that when we're prideful and we're filled with ourselves, then God is going to resist us, is what he says. Solomon had a lot to say about pride in Proverbs 8 and verse number 13. He says this: the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride in arrogancy. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 2, the Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 16 and verse number 5, everyone that is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse number 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18 and verse number 12, the Bible says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Proverbs 21 and verse number 4, the Bible says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. But you better listen to this verse, Proverbs 26 and verse number 12. The Bible says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than him. You see, he says, when you get prideful, when you get eat up with yourselves, you're in danger. A fool has more hope than a prideful man. In Proverbs 23 or 29, in verse number 23, the Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You know what I know about me and what I know about you? Is that every one of us in here struggles with pride in their life. It may be a bigger struggle for some than it is others, but no matter if you're successful, non-successful, no matter if you're rich or if you're poor, no matter where you're at in life, all of us in one sense or other, we struggle and we have to fight off and we have to deal with pride in our lives. And I believe that is exactly what is going on in the text. And I believe that is exactly the message that God wants to get out of this chapter. So let's begin reading and going through it. When we read verse number 1 of 2 Chronicles 26, the Bible says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneth and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerubal and Meshim. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built Tyrus in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the walls. And he fortified them, and he built towers in the desert and digged many wells. For he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. For he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael and the scribe and Messiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of mighty men were of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemies. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and harbingers and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far above, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. The first majority of his life, the hand of God and the blessings of God was upon his life. As I was reading this and I was studying this, I believe the blessings upon Uzziah would compare to the blessings that was upon Solomon. Because see, you read down through the text that we just read, and in verse number 6, God gave him victory over his enemies. We know the Philistines were against the children of Israel. They were always attacking them. They were always having to fight against them. But here, he defeated the Philistines, and he built cities in their cities. The Bible says in verse number 7 that he overcame the Arabians. The Bible says that the Ammonites, who was also an enemy against Israel, they are bringing gifts unto Uzziah. And notice verse number 8, the middle part of it. The Bible says that his name is spread abroad, even into the entering of Egypt. His reputation, his honor, his importance, everybody knows who Uzziah is at this time. But God blesses the homeland. He blesses Jerusalem. In verse number 9, the Bible says he's building towers at the corner gate, and he's building walls, and he's fortifying them, and he's building, in verse number 10, he's building towers in the desert, and he's digging wells, and he had much cattle in the low country and in the plains, and he had vineyards in the mountains and in Carmel, and the Bible says that he loved husbandry. That word husbandry means that he just loved the soil. He loved all of those things, and God is blessing him with cattle, and God is blessing him with vineyards. And when you look at verse number 11, God has given him many mighty men, a great army. And verse number 13 says he has 375,000 men that has great power to go out against the enemy. The blessings and the hand of God is upon Uzziah. In verse number 14, these warriors, they were fortified. The Bible says they had shields, and they had spears, they had helmets, they had harbingers and bows and sling to cast stones. They were ready to do war. But in verse number 15, they had all the latest technology. Notice what it says. They made in Jerusalem engines. They invented by cunning men to be on the towers upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name spread far above. So twice in these verses we're told, man, Uzziah, he is becoming important. Uzziah is becoming great. Uzziah, as he leads the nation of Israel, he is becoming extremely successful. But where does his success come from? You see, in verse number 15, the last part of that verse, the Bible tells us that it wasn't his genius or his wisdom that made him strong. Notice what it says, he was marvelously helped till he was strong. When you read back in verse number 5, I had you read this with me, but in the last part of verse number 5, he says this, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Here is someone that is extremely successful in his life. And the Bible tells us clearly it was because of God. I want you to hold your finger right there, and I want you to go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 8, please. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, because we're going to come back to 2 Chronicles 26. But way back in Moses' day, God made a promise to a king, or just to any individual that was an Israelite. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. In verse number 11, the Bible says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. How can we forget God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day? Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You see, before they got into the promised land, God says, you know what? Hey, be careful that you don't forget me. Be careful that you don't walk away from my commandments and my statutes. But think about this, because there's going to be a time when you are going to be exceedingly blessed. You're going to be able to eat the best foods. You're going to have the finest houses. You're going to have the finest flocks. You're going to have multiplied of silver and gold. And you are going to be blessed beyond your wildest imaginations. But he says, when that happens, don't say that the reason that I have that is because of who I am, because of what I've accomplished, because of my wisdom. Don't do that, because the reason that you have it is because God gave it to you. Verse number 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. I'm quite sure that Uzziah knew that passage. They knew the word of God in those days forward and backwards. I'm quite sure he understood that passage. And for the majority of his life, he's serving the Lord and he's seeking the Lord. And God is just putting blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon his life. But there comes a time when he's older in his age, and he begins to think, you know what? The reason that I have all of this stuff is because of me. Notice what it says there in back in our text in verse number 16. After it says that he was marvelously helped till he was strong, we have that very important word, but means there's something that's fixing to change. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Isn't that what Solomon said? Pride goeth before destruction. Pride goeth before shame. Pride goeth before heartache in your life. And so what does he do? Verse number 16, the Bible says, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king. And they said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. I don't really know what possessed Uzziah to think that he could violate the very clear and direct command of God, but he did. Some say, you know, he was just fervent about serving the Lord, and he decided that he would perform the role of the priest. But the problem was, God said, don't do that. If you remember the tabernacle was a big old area that was curtains all the way around it, and then you Then you walk into the tabernacle and there was the burnt offerings there. And then you would walk a little further and there would be what we call the holy place. Only the priests were able to go into the holy place. And every morning and every evening the priest would go into the holy place. And he would put incense on the fire that came off of the burnt offering as a honor, as a praise to the Lord. God clearly, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 30, clearly says the only one that can do that is the priest. No one else can go into the holy place and put incense or fire upon that altar of incense. And then just beyond that was the holies of holies, like Brother Chris talked about this morning. But here is Uzziah. I don't even have to guess. The Bible says that he was lifted up with pride, that he was lifted up to his destruction, and he transgressed against the Lord. And his transgression was, he thought, you know what? I can go in and I can put incense on the altar of incense and God won't care. But you know what? God did care. I don't think that was his big sin, though. As I studied this text and as I read this text, when I first read that, I thought, yeah, that is the reason that he was smitten with leprosy. But I don't think that was the biggest sin that he committed here. You see, the biggest sin that I believe that he committed here is that when he started in, thank the Lord that there was a godly priest and there was other priests that said, you know what, hey king, that is not your duty, that is not your job. God has clearly said only the priest can offer incense upon the altar. And so they went after him and they confronted him in his sin. But that's when pride kicks in. Because instead of saying, you're right, God, would you forgive me? I repent of my sins. I got carried away. God, would you forgive me? I believe that God would have forgiven him on the spot. And I believe that he could have walked out of that holy place whole. But you notice what he did? Verse number 19. When the priest confronted him, he was wroth. And he raised and he had the censer in his hand to burn offerings. And while he was wroth with the priest, I think that's pride. Have you ever sat in a service and the preacher's preached something and you got mad? Wasn't because of what he said, it was because you was confronted with the sin in your life. I have. I'd raise the other foot if I could. I've told you this story. I'll never forget when I was about 17 or 18 years old. A preacher preached a message and it was something that I knew that was wrong in my life. And I was going to show him that I didn't like it. And when I walked out of that service that day, he was at the door to shake hands and he put out his hand and I walked right past him. I wanted him to know that I was mad. You know what that was? It's pride. His pride. I'll never forget, Brother Bigham was our pastor and his son Dale Bigham came to our church when I was just about 16 or 17 years of age and Dale was just freshly out of college, Bible college, and he had a lot of fervor and vigor and he was going to be there for just a few years and kind of get his feet on the ground, and then he ultimately went to Amarillo and built what is a great, fantastic church. He is now retired, but I was leading the singing at that time, and I know when you see me now you think, you know, suit and tie is what I was, but you know, at 16, 17 years old, I wasn't into suit and tie. And I'll never forget Dale coming to me and saying, hey, David, if you're going to lead singing, you've got to wear a suit and tie. You know what I did? I looked at him and I said, who are you to tell me I have to do that? I look just as good as you look. I ain't wearing no suit and tie. Guess what? I didn't lead singing. But you know what that was? It was pride. It was pride that rose up inside of me and says, you know what? I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do in my life. I've got a long history of that. I've always said, you tell me I have to, and I'll show you that I don't have to. But you know what? All of us struggle with that. Because in our daily Bible reading, when you open up this book, I guarantee you, I don't care where you turn, but as you read the Word of God, the Spirit of God is going to convict you sometimes. You know what keeps you from getting on your knees and saying, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me go the another way. You know what keeps us from doing that? It's pride. Preacher preaches a message like he preached this morning. No doubt that there was people in this auditorium that needed to be saved, that needed to put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can guarantee you one thing, the Holy Spirit of God was convicting, the Holy Spirit of God was drawing men. But you know what kept some from coming and being saved? Pride. You remember it? I remember it. I remember the night that God was dealing with my heart. I thought, man, people are going to laugh at me if I go forward. Man, if I get saved and I make it a public testimony, man, people are not going to like me. They're going to laugh at me. Instead of, people would rejoice and be happy. Pride. It's in all of us. I close with this. I want you to go with me to James chapter number 4. And I'm done tonight. James chapter number 4. Because we're going to end on really a great positive note tonight. And man, this is a great text. You ought to highlight it, mark it in your Bible. But in verse number 6 of James chapter number 4, the Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Boy, I like that, don't you? Boy, I tell you what I need in my life, I need grace. Amen, CJ? I need grace, don't I? Yes. But he says, wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And here it is. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. I can do all kinds of things to promote myself. And I might have a little success for a little while, but ultimately it's going to fall. Do you know what'll happen if I'll just say, God, I'm nothing and you're everything. Help me in every area of my life. Then he begins to lift you up in this area. He begins to lift you up in that area. He begins to bless you here and he begins to bless you there. There's only one reason that I can stand here tonight. It's because of God. You've listened to me enough. You know I slay the King's English. You know sometimes I get ahead of myself and sometimes I am loud and all of those things. There's only one explanation. It's because of God. It's because of God. I'll never forget when I was in the second grade, Ms. Brooks told my mother, he'll never amount to anything. There was a lot of years that I was prideful and arrogant. But I'm telling you, many years ago, God took my legs out from under me. And now, slowly but surely, God says, I'll exalt you. I'll put you in the right place. I will do this for you. Go home tonight. Look around the beautiful house that you live in and say, God, thank you. You gave it to me. Man, while you're driving home in that $100,000 vehicle that you have, say, God, thank you that you gave it to me. Husbands, take your wives out to eat tonight and walk into that restaurant and say, God, thank you that I have enough money to do this. Because I'm telling you, the reason you have it, it's because of God. Humble yourselves, and He will lift you up. Let's pray. God, we love you tonight, and I pray that you touch our hearts. And God, as I said, all of us deal with it in some form or some fashion. And especially when we work hard and we put in more effort than everybody else. And sometimes we just get to looking back and thinking, man, look at what I've accomplished. But God, it's all you. And Lord, maybe tonight there would be some in this congregation that would want to gather around this old altar because it's been a while since they've just said thank you for all of the good things that you've given them. God, tonight I pray there'd be a night that they would just humble themselves at your feet. God, I realize that probably everybody in here tonight knows you as Lord and Savior, but perhaps there might be one that doesn't know you. God, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would accept you. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Martha and Linda's going to play through a verse of invitation. Maybe you want to come.